JM in the AM. One of our great Adar comedy segments. I played that one as comedian Dovi Neuberger is sitting in our studio. And I was looking to see what his reaction would be to that 50, 60-year-old comedy piece, of course, led by the great Lou Jacoby, who I had the pleasure and honor of interviewing once during my career. I assume you never heard of Lou Jacoby.
Never heard of it.
An absolute comedy genius.
I'm sure he was, though. I didn't understand a word he said there.
Are you serious?
Not a word.
You're not serious.
I don't know.
You're listening, and you couldn't pick up what he was saying.
Yeah, I mean, I think I just lost, like, once there was a back and forth, it's, like, not for my generation. Well, like, we don't have, like, Abbott and Costello. I mean, we have, like, similar things.
In other words, it's not a play one off the other. It's not a straight man type thing.
It's not visual, also.
So what's J Sketch? That's more like a story? That's more like a...
J Sketch is more like SNL, I think, for Jews.
So this was literally what was dominating in the 50s and 60s, the comedy duos.
Yeah, the thing with, like, you have to have a deep appreciation and respect for, like, every single, like...
genre?
No, every single comedian, however old they are, because they set the stage for you and it develops.
Right. So is there a comedian from the 50s or 60s that you have listened to and say, wow, that guy or that woman was really funny or... anything like that? Or you never?
Yeah, and I mean, probably not that old. I mean, how old is Henny Youngman?
Yeah, 50, 60, okay. Sure.
Yeah,
100%.
I mean,
and you thought he was funny?
I'm a student of comedy, so right. I don't laugh at it the same way.
Right.
With the same gumption, I'll laugh at something.
So
nowadays.
Can I tell you what this joke was, or it's not worth discussing? Okay. Anyway, let me tell you this. Anybody over 50 thought it was hilarious.
To me, it's like athletes, right? Like the athletes nowadays are just going to be better at the sport than the athlete. Like even a mid-level athlete today is still way more athletic.
Better conditioned, more information in their head. They're able to process more, et cetera.
There's also just more technology and workouts and eating habits and everything.
Correct.
But you have to judge everyone for their generation.
No, that I get.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that what you just heard wouldn't be funny. To me, it was funny you couldn't follow it. But if you did follow it, you might say to me, hey, that's funny.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have the same laugh out loud effect that a comedian nowadays.
Have you seen Abbott and Costello routines?
Yes.
And are any of them funny to you?
Brilliant.
No? Oh, you do think they're brilliant?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's not like you don't appreciate it.
Oh, of course I appreciate it. It's also like very early for me. Like every time I come into the studio.
You feel like it's the middle of the night?
I'm literally going to go down to Masikin after this. Do people still wake up that like now?
Yeah.
Really?
By the way.
No one in my generation works this early.
Now, that I get. But I will tell you that I'm getting up these days sometime between 3:30 and 4.
Oh, my God. Which
is the middle of the night. I'm on the road at 4:30. You cannot imagine how many vehicles are on the road at 4:30 in the morning. It's on a regular weekday. It's unbelievable.
I could see myself being on the road at 3:30, 4 in the morning, but that may be before I went to sleep, not after I woke up.
Understood. A week from tonight, Dovi Neuberger presents a night of love and laughter to benefit Soldiers Save Lives. Now, this is Soldiers Save Lives is the cause. It's up on our Chesed page, NachumSiegel.com/Chesed, that we featured with Ike Bodner and another gentleman who's in our studio. I forgot who it was at the moment, in memory of David Newman. And they are just one of the... Let me get this right. They're just one of the efforts on behalf of Israel that is supported by Ike's father, Moshe Bodner, who's doing incredible work. You're familiar with this? I don't know if you've heard of what he's doing.
I don't know all the people involved.
Every day they're sending stuff to Israel. It's amazing what they're doing. And part of it, of course, is what is recommended by the people at Soldiers Save Lives. Anyway, it's a March 28th, 1 week from tonight at 230 Fifth Avenue, it is, I assume?
235th, right. It's the name of like a...
Oh, it's the name of the venue
in Midtown.
You know what that reminded me of just now? Here's how old I am, that I never heard of 235th. I just thought that was the address.
It might also be the address.
I assume it's also the address, yeah, but who knows? I was once... So what's 1150? What's 150?
I think that's actually the address because it's a corner building in Manhattan. 235th is like a big rooftop bar in Manhattan overlooking the skyline.
So you're ready for this story?
Yeah, let's hear it. Lay it on me.
So in the early 2000s, this is when I first started to realize I was getting old, okay? A long time ago. In the early 2000s, I was asked to MC an event that was put together on behalf. Then it was an intifada, so they had a big Israel fair. You know, vendors came from Israel to sell because nobody was traveling to Israel, et cetera, et cetera. So they had a major concert with what we would call, you know, Jewish music performers and secular performers, all who wanted to come and support Israel. It was really nice, and a lot of people from all backgrounds came to, you know, thousands of people came, Jews, non-Jews, everybody, first of all, for the lineup, because they saw that, you know, there was music appealing to everybody. Anyway, so I'm told to MC, and the group that is on stage, and they were going, the audience was going nuts that they were in the same room with this, you know, with this group of artists. They couldn't believe it, with these musicians. And I had never heard of them. Anyway, so on the sheet of paper, it tells me to introduce E-L, all capital letters, E-L-M-T. E-L-M-T, that's what it says in capital letters, E-L-M-T. So I get up, and of course, especially the teenage girls are freaking out that these guys are about to come on stage, et cetera, et cetera. And I introduce ELMT, at which point the lead singer of ELMT walks over to me and says, by the way, our name is Element. Uh-huh. So I, of course, was not with it, as the story indicates, as is the case here. Had no clue what 235th is, but as you just told us, it's a rooftop bar with a couple of hundred seats or more.
What? Yeah, a few hundred seats. Yeah, it's a massive venue. We have the room downstairs. I think it has a Jewish owner. There's a few like clubs in the city that are more partial to these causes than others. Thank God, otherwise we'd never be able to put on these events.
I have a friend who's involved in a lot of the clubs in New York City, and it seems every one of his partners is Israeli. That's right. What it seems. He's not Jewish, but it seems every one of his partners is Israeli. Anyway, it's a 10% discount for the early bird. Is there an easy way to get these tickets? Are they? Do you have to look for the link in your WhatsApp? Like, I don't see anything on the email announcement here.
Is there? It's on the Soldiers Save Lives website, also on their events page.
So go to Soldiers Save Lives, and you'll find it there on the events page. And there are a couple of people here, in addition to yourself, who are featured.
There's probably people that aren't there also that are going to be featured.
Tell me if I'm pronouncing this correctly in the Element theme here. Matthew Broussard, would that be correct?
Correct.
And why do I think I've heard of him? Have I heard of him?
He's a pretty famous comedian.
Oh, see, it's pretty well.
He's not exclusive to the film world or even known to the film world yet, but I'm bringing him in.
Sounds familiar. And in addition to that, Max Mantikoff, would that be the right pronunciation? I'm doing pretty well this morning.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy. See the advantage of waking up at 3:30? By the time you get to this time, it's like lunchtime. You're like, oh, not today. But I mean, in general, it's like the middle of the day.
Yeah, it's pretty. You do your whole show here and no one's even shown up for work for another hour.
That is correct. Correct. And I'm your stop between bed and shul, as you just said.
Right.
Anyway, so what's going on here? I mean, I get it's a benefit and I understand that, hey, just like we're doing today, there's a lot of serious stuff going on. It's Donis Esther. It's a day of fasting, call to prayer. We have this global unity effort that's happening at 11:30 a.m. Eastern time based at the Kotel with the families of the hostages. At the same time, we feel we got to play a little bit of comedy like we do every single Donis Esther. We got to talk about, you know, the joyous part of the holiday. I'm assuming this is an Adar themed. You're doing this now because it's Purim time.
This came together because probably about a month ago, I went to I got someone DM me on Instagram about this gala that was happening, the Soldiers Save Lives gala, and I went to it and heard the story of Soldiers Save Lives and Let's Do Something. They started an organization called Let's Do Something, which I think is like so. It really like captures the feeling of so many like helpless Jews like in the days and weeks after October 7th. Basically, the story of David Newman is that he was a kid, probably 25 years old, at the Nova Festival, and his friends heard that he was there, and on October 7th, they just got in a car, didn't know what was going on, and really head into the thick of it. They grabbed a couple of bulletproof vests, some pistols.
These are the guys that we spoke to in the studio, right?
Right. And he was killed while protecting a dumpster full of like 9 people.
Correct.
And I think everyone in the dumpster was killed except for his girlfriend.
Correct. By a grenade, if I'm not mistaken. I think the enemy, I think, actually tossed a grenade into it when they realized there were people in there.
I didn't know that part. But
if I'm right, I'm not even sure I'm right, but I think that was the story. Unfortunately, there are too many stories since October 7th, so everything gets, you know, mixed right. together. But yes, and he has a lot of loyal friends, including the ones who went down to try to save him, frankly. Right. There's a lot of loyal friends and well-known to a lot of people both in Israel and the United States. And they actually started this effort in his memory, which is pretty amazing.
But they called it, they started a WhatsApp group called Let's Do Something.
Right. That day they started.
Which to me was like, this is exactly what I want to be a part of. Like we don't know what we have to do, but we know like this event doesn't pass us by and we don't do anything.
That's why you're calling it the Let's Do Something Comedy Night.
Right.
And again, that weird thing, like I feel today and really every day during Adar because of the whole mix of emotions, must be pretty strange. It's a Let's Do Something event because of the war effort, and at the same time you're getting together to have this, you know. Well,
that's really their brand.
Fest.
Their first event was also like, it was a gala, but it was like more of a party. The idea was to bring young Jewish people in the city together. And I think that's the vibe that they're trying to capture, meaning they want to do something to his memory. They want it to be for an amazing cause. They brought, I think, to date, like almost like $20 million worth of supplies into Israel. But they want it to be, they don't want everything in his memory to be depressing and sad. They want it to be an excuse for Jews to celebrate together.
And every day stuff's being sent by a whole bunch of people, including them, until now. And I know for a lot of people, they have... You know, war fatigue, like, you know, the whole enthusiasm to help out is waning a bit for some people, and others are just continuing at the same pace, which is amazing. And I think this group is part of that group. Let's Do Something Comedy Night, a 10% discount if you do the early bird, everybody, and we're encouraging you to get your tickets. You can go to Soldiers Save Lives, the website Soldiers Save Lives. On the event page there on the website, you will find a link and information about tickets for 1 week from tonight on March 28th in New York City at 2:35. And not only will Max and Matthew be presenting, you will also be doing, Dovi Neuberger will be doing a set that night, correct?
I will be doing a set. I think Ami Kozak is also, is he there on that?
He's not on this, but he's also great. He'll be part of the lineup.
Yeah, just added him to the lineup. I'm working on one or two other comedians right now that I think will be
Seinfeld?
Yeah, exactly.
Will he be there that night? He's actually sympathetic to the war effort. He went to down south and visited there.
He's definitely sympathetic to the war effort.
But he's not sympathetic to your event.
He's not sympathetic to my comedy career. I actually met him. I approached him cold in a comedy club recently.
Interesting.
Yeah. It couldn't have gone worse.
Seriously?
Yeah. He gets approached so much by young stand-up comedians.
And why was he at the club? Was he performing that night?
He was doing a drop-in set, working on material.
Literally testing out material. Yeah. An expert like that, what does that teach us about trying to stay perfect at your craft? Or as good, I shouldn't say perfect. He would agree that he's not perfect, but as good as possible at one's craft. That's amazing.
Yeah.
What a lesson.
I got tipped off that he would be stopping by. That's why I went to the club that night.
What do? You pay a bartender and they give you all the info?
No, I was...
In the old days, that's how it worked with us.
Really?
Obviously.
Yeah.
You tip the... What do you think the New York Post Page Six did for years? They would pay the bartenders and the coat check ladies to call them the second someone walked in.
I didn't
know. Wow, how does it work today? I guess with social media, it's so much easier.
The bartender posts something to his TikTok.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So how are you tipped off? Or you didn't have any...
No, I was part of this comedy course. The way I got into stand-up, I did a stand-up... like course through Gotham Comedy Club.
Nice.
And they send you these emails like with free tickets as like part of that to all like the newcomer shows. And a lot of the newcomer shows have a drop in with either Seinfeld or Jim Gaffigan.
Gaffigan's funny.
Yeah.
Hey, although I don't like him on his commentary. I like him in a live setting. I don't like when they have him on like CBS News and he does like, you know, monologue without an audience. I don't know. I just don't find him as funny. Maybe
I never even seen that. You
wouldn't, because that shows for somebody my age.
And probably it's in the morning.
And it's Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, right?
Right. Yeah. I don't know anyone that consumes their news from a TV anymore.
That's also true, right? Or a newspaper, right?
No, for sure not.
Unless it's a Jewish newspaper on Shabbos, that's about it.
Yeah. No, right. I don't know anyone that does that. So, but
someone said to me, when the State of the Union, which I don't even, do you know what a State of the Union is?
Yeah.
You're familiar with that. So when the State of the Union aired last week, I think it was last week, so I read somewhere that, first of all, it was one of the highest rated State of the Unions in God knows how long, many, many years. 78% of the television audience for the State of the Union was over 55 years old.
It doesn't surprise me at all, but how do they know that?
I don't know. But I saw that stat like a day or two after. 78% of those watching TV for a very highly rated thing, when it's not the Super Bowl, but certainly a very highly rated event, 78% watching television were over 55 years old.
Yeah, well, maybe you have to be over 55 years old to understand what the president's talking about today.
You need that level of intelligence? Or you need that level of experience in order to figure yeah. it out? Anyway, so what were we talking about? Is Gotham worth it? If a kid is out there and says, I want to take this course at Gotham Comedy, is it worthwhile? Like, would you say, you know, this is really worthwhile or not?
You have to know what you're exactly signing up for. It's not a course that's going to help you, like going to give you connections in comedy at all. It's a course.
So what did it help you at?
It just forces you to write down your jokes and forces you to get up there. It gives you one show.
Right. Is that what Thursday does? Like you're happy that this, a week from Thursday is on the calendar because now you have to write new material.
I don't really have to write new material for this one because most of the audience will have never heard me before. No, the Thursday is more, this is what I do now. Like, I produce comedy shows.
Right.
I was really excited about the cause. And this isn't like any newcomers. These are all like very famous. Right.
A lot of Jewish stuff Thursday night from you, or not necessarily?
I want to see how the audience shakes out. I want to get a sense.
You'll make a decision then?
No, it's not. It's a decision how to... Yeah, you say the jokes differently for a from audience and a non-from audience, for sure.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering if in general there'll be Jewish-themed stuff. Like, do you think it'll...
Yeah, I mean, that's the idea. It's going to be a Jewish crowd.
Right.
But it's going to be pretty diverse, like, religiously. So my audience is very from, and...
So the Eruv Tafshilin jokes may not go over well.
Right. I'm hoping to branch out. Because this organization does events with a lot of secular Jews, a lot of secular right. Israelis.
That's right.
And I'm hoping that it's a more diverse crowd, which is why I'm not, like, I'm only bringing, like, Ami's the only other right. from comedian on the lineup. I really wanted to branch out in that.
So if you add more, will it be people that we've heard of, or it'll be people on the more secular side who are really newcomers? Like, who you
know, it'd be more, yeah, on the secular side. They're not newcomers, they're like pretty big comedians in the city. They're just not like big on right. the from scene. They're not right. on the shul circuit right now.
or we haven't seen them on Colbert, like they're not at that level yet.
You may have.
Really?
Broussard is like, I definitely
right, that I get, and they'll be at his level.
Yeah, maybe. Oh,
very nice. Boy.
Comedy Central.
Is it hard to convince these guys or these women to do this?
There's a tier of comedians that have made it but not made it off the circuit yet. So, meaning like Jerry Seinfeld doesn't like do clubs anymore in the city, right?
Except for his own benefit, as you said. When he has
right. He'll stop into Gotham right. just to practice material. But then there's people in between him and me that already have, let's say, Netflix specials but are still... like hustling their next special, and they go to a lot of they're always at comedy clubs in the city, so it's actually not as hard as you would think to get them to come
you know
to
what,
the set.
You know what must be unfair to Seinfeld? It must be unfair that if he opens his mouth, people automatically laugh. So he doesn't really get a good indication if the joke's funny because it's Seinfeld. So they're just they're cracking up just seeing him on stage, just starting to laugh.
Well, I wish I had such an unfairness in my life.
No, I know, but you'll get there eventually. But I think it's like that with all the professional. I think Mulaney has the same thing. He walks on stage and everyone, you know, psychologically, they remember all his routines and they're already laughing, you know.
Yeah, so I think it fundamentally changes the way you write your jokes. Because for me, for example, if I don't have a punchline every, let's say, 20 seconds, people stop listening.
That's it, right.
Right, when Louis C.K.
Right.
goes and plays at the Garden, right? So that's the opposite extreme. But there's so much buy-in to him already because right. everyone there is obsessed with him.
Correct.
They'll wait 3-4 minutes
right.
before a punchline.
Yeah, he could drag it out like crazy, like yeah. he did in that Saturday Night Live routine. He dragged it out like crazy.
Which one? The chicken cross the road one?
I'm talking about the one, the controversial one, when he about the Jews. You remember that one or not?
I thought you were talking about Chappelle, but
the Chappelle one we all know about, but wasn't it Louis C.K. who did a whole concentration camp thing?
If I don't remember, I probably didn't think it was as anti-Semitic as everyone.
All right, that could be, or I'm just making a mistake, but I think I'm right. But anyway, Dovie Neuberger is here. Hey, it's Tanis Esther. It means that the Megillah is being read Saturday night and Sunday this year. It is Adar. We're in Purim season, and now it's time for you to reserve your tickets for next Thursday night, March 28th, when Dovie Neuberger, Max Mantikoff, and Matthew Broussard, and others, including Ami Kozak, are all going to be together at 230 Fifth in New York City. The early bird is a 10% discount. Get your tickets now. Go to Soldiers Save Lives. Soldiers Save Lives. On their event page, you'll be able to find the link to purchase tickets and be part of a massive event, because this is going to be the largest one you've ever produced or not in terms of audience
size? God willing, this will be the largest one.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Boy.
I was very passionate about this cause. I they fit exactly what I was trying to accomplish, both with like comedy and audience. So
right,
yeah.
Anything funny about Tanis Esther? Or I shouldn't put you on the spot like that.
Tanis Esther.
I know it's a serious day today, the way things have shaked out.
Tanis Esther never felt like a serious day.
Right, but
it
this
felt more like right. More like a juice cleanse before the
right
before
exactly like an a real Erev Purim day.
Yeah,
yeah.
I love Tanis Esther. No, what's your favorite part of the Megillah?
Of the Megillah?
Yeah.
One is very emotional for me, frankly. My mother's name was Esther because she was born on the 12th of Adar.
I didn't know that.
So she was born the day before Tanis Esther. So my mother's name was Esther. I'm going to tell you, as morbid as this might be, on her tombstone, it says, "V'Esther nos eit chen be'enei kol ro'eha," which is, of course, a quote from the Megillah, and it reflects my mother that she, in fact, was loved by everybody who knew her, which is really cool.
Oh, wow. This is perfect for a comedy segment.
Right, so that pasuk I love a lot. But, of course, my favorite, as this audience knows, is that the final pasuk of the Megillah, not only am I happiest with the final pasuk because the Megillah is finally ending after all that time, but it's just so ironic that Mordechai saves the entire Jewish nation, and you would think that every Jew on planet Earth would be indebted to him. And, of course, the Megillah tells us that he was Ratzoi, he was accepted and loved by Rov Echav, the majority of his brothers and sisters in the Jewish world, and not, of course, all of them, which is ironic. And anybody,
I love that part.
Yeah, anybody in a leadership position can sympathize with him. That
part's so relatable because you can see that happening today.
Of course,
where
today, of course, it's human nature.
Imagine,
and certainly Jewish nature.
Imagine the Shabbos table conversation in Shushan, like after Mordechai did it.
Right.
Every Baal Bus is right. Like, I could have done it if I was it, whatever. You know?
I don't know why he didn't do this.
Yeah.
Why did
that? It took him a bunch of years. I could have done it. So it's such a simple idea. Just give your niece to the kid.
Which rabbi did he consult with? Look at that. We stepped upon a hilarious comedy routine from the Megillah.
Yeah, maybe we'll write this one up.
Oh, by the way, so I told you off the air. And I'm forcing you to do this just for a minute here.
I could stay here all day.
I am a very big Country Yossi fan. Very big Country Yossi fan. In addition to what you know, his songs and all the right. parodies, he's also, I think, an excellent comedy writer. So he was talking about how the challenges of flying these days. For instance, he says, "I tell people I own property in Paris. That's where they always send my luggage." But I'm bummed. Hey, you like Henny Youngman, you gotta like this, right?
Okay.
I discovered there are two types of luggage, carry-on and lost. I once went to the ticket counter and told the lady I wanted a ticket to Miami, but I wanted one suitcase to go to Texas, one to California, and one to Kalamazoo. She said, "Sorry, sir, but we can't do that." I said, "Why not? You did it last time." Hey, this is actually getting a reaction from you.
Airplane bits and airports to me is for some reason become the core of American comedy. Well, every comedian has an airport bit.
Well, Seinfeld is legendary. Louis C.K. has one.
Louis C.K., right. Nate Bargatze. Everyone has a
because airplanes are funny environments. The whole social aspect of being on inside a tube with 300 other people and flying through the air is.
I think they're the most. It's the most relatable, frustrating, universal experience. Is talking to people at the airports and airplanes.
Right.
I've never traveled through an airplane and not thought of another. This should be a bit.
Right.
Everything.
It's sort of like shul. It's sort of like shul. Every time you see a different personality in shul, you say,
exactly
"Wow, this
like
could
shul.
Be a character
just,
in a sitcom." Right?
It's just more universal,
right?
Yeah,
that's very cool.
If you would explain shul to a non-Jew, they'd be like, "None of this is real."
Right. There were no movies, meaning on the flight. There were no movies. Every now and then, you could see your life flash before your eyes. The last straw was when the pilot walked down the aisle handing out his resume. Come on, that's funny. What else does he have here? Let's see here. Do you know that at JFK they installed a mezuzah at the baggage check-in counter so you can kiss your luggage goodbye? That's a little. What's this one here? Hang on, I'll give you one more. Long flights get me slightly unhinged. If you see me talking to myself, just ignore me. I'm self-employed and we're having a meeting. It got a little bit of a reaction from Dovie Newberger.
I don't know. Of all the things you can make fun of in an airport,
Anyway.
The most frustrating thing for me now is, every airport has a different... I feel like airport... And this isn't even a bit, but every time I go to a new city, I feel like the airport and Uber... All the airports in America and Uber must have a meeting at the beginning of the year to figure out how to complicate getting an Uber the most possible.
And the funny part is it's easier now than ever, and it's still impossible.
It's literally impossible. You got to take a train to a different door, and then for some reason it's always like you could only pick them up at departures.
Right. You know why they do that? Because there's a lot more movement in the departure area, so it's easier for cars to go in and out.
It's just bizarre that the place where we would send the Ubers to pick people up is departures.
Right. I know, but it's a practical thing. Anyway, Thursday night.
Once you hear the real reason, it takes the funny out of it now.
What do you mean?
Now that I know there's a real logistical reason for it.
Oh, yeah. You're right. That ruins the joke. But nobody in the audience would know that. You'd need an analyst like Nahum Siegel sitting there to,
There's always an analyst. In every Jewish audience, there's an analyst. The reason your mother said that to you, let me explain.
Here's what she really meant. A week from tonight, people of all ages, I know that if someone like you walks in here, people think like you got to be in your 20s or 30s to go to this event. You're saying people of all ages are welcome.
Everyone, yeah, all ages.
A guy like me could walk in who likely will fall asleep in the middle of the show because I've been up since 3:30 in the morning. A guy like me could walk in. If I paid my ticket, you're going to welcome me to the show.
Yeah, you'll only enjoy it if you're in your 20s or 30s, but you're welcome to come even if you're older than that.
Is that true, by the way? I wouldn't appreciate it.
No, you'll enjoy the humor. It's just it's definitely a young person focused event, right. But we always love some boomers.
This is this is Dovey's way. I'm just a boomer. I just made the cut.
Well, I don't even know what's before boomers. What is that?
Oh, before? I have no idea, I guess.
Was that founding fathers, then boomers?
Or wartime babies, maybe? But in order to be a boomer officially, you have to be born anytime before 1964. So I just made the cut.
I was trying to remember who did that sketch. There's a great routine about how they imagine.
How they name generations?
Yeah.
Then I don't know what they're going to do with their Z. Was it going to be double Z? They did X, Y, Z, right? You're a Z, aren't you?
No.
Oh, no, you're Y.
I'm a millennial.
Which is X? Or before X?
I don't know.
Are you sure?
Am I sure? No, I'm not sure about anything.
At your age, I don't know if you're officially a millennial, according to the official designations. Try to find that out before Monday, if you don't mind. Anyway, so we are invited, but it might be a challenge in terms of enjoying or understanding all the routines.
I think you'll understand the routines. It's just
a lot of TikTok jokes, because I can't figure out TikTok. A lot of social media jokes. Because I'm barely, able to navigate that whole system. You know what I'm saying?
Well, my humor's for everyone.
Anyway. Any Shalchmanos jokes or no way? It'll be history
by
then.
Any Shalchmanos jokes.
It'll be totally history.
I mean, Shalchmanos is really how I got started in comedy. My mom was a big Shalchmanos theme person.
Really?
Yeah.
Had to be a theme every year.
My mom writes the most sophisticated
poems
Shalchmanos poems you've ever seen in your life.
Do you know what this year's is? Or no? There's been no reveal yet.
This year, she's in a Avelis this year. So it's
a challenge, right?
So she's not.
So your father has to ride him. That should be fun.
You don't know about my mom, Shalchmanos. We got to do a segment on it. It's legendary.
Momish?
Yeah. She does. It's so thematic, from the bags to the foods, and it's always tied into the Megillah. It will never. Wow. So, for example, one year, let's say we did the writer's strike one year. So she'll take the part in the Megillah where Esther couldn't figure out what to say because there was a writer's strike in Shushan, and it's two pages long and fitting in a current events theme.
Yeah. I was just going to say, it's not just Jewish stuff. It's current events.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Always. I got to show you some of them. I can't believe you, where you been? She never told you about this.
I got to start delivering your Shalchmanos to Bergenfield, and then I guess I'll get one in exchange.
If you do, let me know.
That's the strategy, right? That's the Purim strategy. Yeah. If you want to receive a certain person Shalchmanos because you've heard it's off the charts, make sure your kid delivers there.
Yeah. You got to wait online. That's the problem. I started selling fast passes to my parents.
What does that mean, you have to wait online?
Well, my dad has a long line. Purim.
Like out the door?
Yeah.
Seriously? That must be a scene.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
You ever video any of it? Or you wouldn't do that?
Well, I'm trying to make money. I'm trying to sell people on the back of the line to cut.
They can have your space.
I'm like the bouncer. They slip me a 20. I get them in quick.
I see certain traditions have not been evaporated. Yeah. I see that continues even after my generation. Anyway, that's how this conversation started, you may recall.
Yeah, I didn't think about it. I do that.
About the different methods of getting information or access at these comedy clubs and other places.
One year, my next door neighbor put a sign up outside his door that said Newburgers and pointed to his house because he wanted all his shawarmas. Seriously.
I like that.
Yeah.
And knowing your parents, they wouldn't have noticed if half their shawarmas was not there because they get so many.
Yeah, no. They didn't. They thought it was hilarious.
What happens 2-3 days after in your house? Because there's some homes where you will not see a piece of mishloach manos 2-3 days after. What happens by you?
I don't get it. My mom finds a way to get it to disappear.
And that's it?
Yeah. She brings it to school. Someone brings it. While you have your table, gets a lot of it.
Oh, of course. That's probably the easiest way to dispose of anything. I think that was our strategy, actually, for many years.
The why you have your table? Yeah.
Because what's interesting and unique about that is that you put it on that table, and within 10 minutes, it's all you worry, is it going to be spoiled, or is it going to be, you know, is it going to be left there, and it'll be wasted? No. You put anything. You put used 10-day-old cholent on that Hefker table,
100%.
And it is going to be gone in 10
minutes. Soup nuts, tam-tams, anything. Sardines.
Gosh.
I've eaten it all.
You're bringing me back. You're bringing me back to the good old days. Am I getting teary-eyed?
When you eat, it could have been a whole meal plan, the why you have your table.
Yes.
I wonder how active it still is.
Why wouldn't it? Oh, you think because people are either healthy or more concerned about germs or something? Or
I don't know. I just don't know. Like, people are derelict in carrying on Sermisora, which is not appropriate. But I just don't know if it says.
I think you're wrong, because I have a feeling that table was established many, many decades ago and probably has had a very strong streak since then. I can't imagine, except maybe COVID, I can't imagine it's ever really had a dip in its activity.
I think it will as the gluten-free baby generation becomes of age.
That's what I'm wondering about.
Right.
Right. Then the 10-day-old child may be, you know, less popular.
Right, which is so sad to me.
I agree with that, but I don't know. I still think there's that. Thank God there's so many still unhealthy eating people. There's still so many of them. It may be just, you know, a drop in the bucket in terms of the gluten-free crowd that you're worried about.
I don't know. I got to go check it out. Someone's got to do like a Netflix special on the Why You Hefker table.
No joke. You take footage there for 10 hours, especially on a Thursday night. You could edit it down to an hour of a brilliant documentary, in my opinion.
There was one brilliant there was a brilliant YU perm sketch, but that was part of the perm spiel. They had a hidden camera, and the YU after table used to be a garbage can, like on top of the garbage. Like,
got it.
It was
like
in
a tray on top of the garbage.
Exactly, right. And they would put like amazing stuff. They put like fresh Golan on it, and then someone would just pop out of the garbage can.
And that was part of the perm bush.
Yeah, I wish we got to find that video. Maybe we'll link it to the website.
All right. A week from tonight, Dovi Newberger is presenting a night of love and laughter to benefit Soldiers Save Lives. Go to their website, Soldiers Save Lives. Their event page has information about the comedy event for March the 28th. Apparently, all ages are welcome, but beware, you may not be able to understand all of the humor. That's what we've determined this morning. Nonetheless, it's a great cause to support, to try to be there and certainly send your family of all generational backgrounds. It's Thursday night, March 28th, starting at 7:30 at 235th in New York City. There is an early bird special, so go to the website at Soldiers Save Lives, and you'll enjoy Dovi, Matthew Broussard, Max Mantikoff, Ami Kozak, and, according to Dovi Newberger, other surprises as well. There you go. Have a wonderful Purim.
I really
do hope, as I've told you off the air, I hope this is a massive success. And I look forward to you sitting here when you're ready to play. Well, I'm not going to say Madison Square Garden yet. What do they call the theater at Madison Square? They probably call it the theater at Madison Square Garden.
Well, there's some stops in between.
I know, I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to that big 5,000-6,000 seat arena. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Nahum,
don't forget
free
me.
Free tickets.
You know what they say? You know what they say? Don't forget the people on the way up. They're the same people you're going to see on the way down. So I'm begging you, don't forget us. When you're playing the 5,000-6,000 seat arena, I am begging you, let me be your first stop one early morning here at JM in the AM.
It's you could hold me to it.
Thank you. I can take it to the bank.
Yeah. I always tell my roommates, don't worry. When I'm at the top, I'm never going to forget the people who are mean to me at the bottom.
Well, that goes without saying, but it's the other part that people worry about. Don't forget those that were helpful the way up. Dovi Neuberger, everybody. If you want to hear how funny he is, check him out on the 28th of March. More coming up. This is JM in the AM.